Welcome back to the clubhouse. Here in the McAdoo studios, Kyle Bailey, Will Stewart, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. These fine gentlemen join us every Friday at the start of hour number two. And I'm just going to carry it in. We were chatting during the break there. We're talking about college football, which is so far away, but close. Kind
it's
of.
It's less than 100 days.
Yeah, what is it, like 97 days now or something like that?
It's like one of those so close but so far away
that
type
one.
Deals. So we are pretty close to it. It doesn't seem like.
Right, and these are the kind of discussions that we love during the season, and outside the season, they just sustain us. But Auburn's athletics director, Jay Jacobs, is trying desperately to schedule non-conference opponents. He's got Louisville to open up this season, Clemson in 2016 and 2017, and then Cal in 2020 and 2021. But he's complaining no one will play the Tigers. But he says, quote, Gus's high-tempo offense, referring to Gus Malzahn, the head coach, people are reluctant to play it. People are reluctant to come into the SEC and play, end quote. Shut up.
Well, they won eight games last year.
Be quiet, Jay Jacobs. Yeah. I mean, seriously, A, that. B, the SEC as a conference is 0-5 in its last big five games. You know, shut up. Stop. Frank, you know what? Time out. Frank, go play him. You know, just let's shut Jay Jacobs up. Whit, Frank, go play Auburn. Let's do that, right?
I think the quality of SEC football has dropped over the last couple of years. And you know, I'll use Alabama as an example here. I know people are high on Kirby Smart as a head coach, but he built dominated defenses with, you know, upper level four-star and five-star talent. And what has he done with that defense to really truly adjust to spread offenses? Because the last couple of wide open teams I've seen them play, Oklahoma last year in the Sugar Bowl and Ohio State this year in the playoffs, they have torched that Alabama defense, which is just built of a bunch of big six. Like, everybody in Alabama's front seven looks exactly the same.
They look like cyborgs.
They're all like it's like they were built in a lab somewhere, but they don't run all that well.
No,
I don't
think the Transformers are in helmets.
Yeah. If you spread them out, I mean, and you've got good athletes, you can put up a lot of points and yards on them, and I think spread teams are starting to do that to Alabama, and if Alabama's dropping off a little bit because of that, and you've got Florida down at the bottom these days, then LSU's not quite as good as they were.
I like Auburn. I do. I like Auburn. I have never had a problem with Auburn. I like Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
I like the SEC. But nobody's afraid of the SEC anymore.
No.
And I'm not saying the SEC's not good, because they are. I still think it's the best conference in the country, top to bottom, but nobody's afraid of them.
Yeah, I'll go play them.
People are reluctant to come play in the SEC. Yeah. No, people are trying to get into the playoff. You know, they're trying to schedule strategically. No one's afraid of you. People are scheduling strategically, Jay Jacobs. I promise you that.
Yeah.
No one's afraid to come play Auburn, because you're not the only high-octane spread-type offense in the country.
I would love to play Texas A&M, because I think we might actually be able to score on them.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, anyway, I just thought that was an interesting comment. I thought that was really, really interesting.
What prompted him to say that? Has he had a few bad phone calls?
Well, I don't know. First of all, I'm not even sure that that's news if there wasn't such a lack of news. I think he wants people to play him really badly, and so he's going to say it to reporters so that someone will, you know, maybe have my reaction and say, oh, really? Yeah, we'll come play you. I don't know. Maybe it works. Maybe Jay Jacobs is just way smarter than the rest of us. I don't know. Anyway, so there's that. Just this also is interesting. Grayson Lambert, who left UVA, is visiting Georgia, where he's the state that he's from. How interesting is that?
Yeah, that is interesting.
Because you know what? He could win that starting job.
Yeah, he could.
He's a much better quarterback than what we've seen, I think, at UVA due to poor coaching.
UVA is such a mess. Who knows how good a player is under Mike London?
Right.
Really. It's hard to say.
I mean, Ode Abushi, for instance. I mean, I see on Twitter the other day, Ode Abushi is the new starting right guard for the New York Jets.
Are you serious?
Really?
Because we annihilated that guy.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
he's a good player.
How bad is the coaching there that he's all of a sudden the starting right guard for the New York Jets?
Yeah.
But he was so, you know, just mediocre at UVA.
You know, and I just remember watching Ahmad Brooks. I was watching the highlights from that 2005 Tech UVA game the other day. 52-14 Virginia Tech. And that last UVA touchdown was a garbage time touchdown. And then Virginia Tech took a knee inside the 10-yard line to end the game. That game really could have been 59-7 if Virginia Tech had actually tried. Ahmad Brooks is in there getting smacked around by Jesse Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And how long has he been in the NFL now?
Didn't he just get in trouble, though?
Did he?
He might be out now.
Anyway, he's been playing the NFL for 10 years, basically. And then our walk-on fullback is, you know, blocking him all over the place, and he's going to the wrong gaps. And now that was under Al Crow, of course. But it's just, it, place kind of seems like a black hole as far as football talent goes. I like Grayson Lambert's talent level.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he'll be okay.
Doesn't Virginia Tech really have to capitalize on recruiting right now? I mean, there's no
how what, can they?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, just within the state, I know a lot of kids are leaving the state. You know, that's a problem that's going on in a lot of places. But there is no excuse to lose a recruit to UVA at this point. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong in saying that?
You're not wrong. I mean, unless that kid just grew up a UVA fan and
right.
hates Tech.
Right.
Well, like, who's their five-star safety that started for him this past year?
Quinn Blandon.
Quinn Blandon. You know, Quinn, I always heard, he grew up, his mom worked in a lawyer's office, and all the lawyers were, you know, a bunch of UVA grads.
Mm-hmm.
So he was exposed to UVA from the time he was a kid and heard a lot of Virginia Tech hate. From the time that he was a kid, there was no chance of him ever coming to Virginia Tech.
Right.
He would have gone to Florida State or any out-of-state program before he would have come to Virginia Tech. So unless it's a situation like that, yeah, I don't feel like we should lose a guy head-to-head against that coaching staff.
But when was the last time that happened? I mean, I know you're a guy who has a good mind for these sorts of things. Do you remember the last time Tech lost a recruit to UVA where it was a legitimate head-to-head battle?
That we didn't have early obstacles to overcome, such as, you know,
the thoroughbreds
or something like that. It's been a while. You know, everybody thought Wyatt Seller was going there until he didn't.
Right. Greg Stroman was a lock to UVA before
it's
he
at
flipped.
At one point.
Right.
Yeah. So, and he was actually a thoroughbred. Now, granted, he was from Northern Virginia, so he wasn't exposed to them on a day-to-day basis like the 757 kids are.
By the way, just as an aside, did you know there are people who think that people call the 757 the DMV? That drives me up the wall. People do that. And I saw people tweeting about it the other day. Some kid was like, I'm not from the DMV. I'm from the 757. Like, they're not even close to each other. Like, they're not even, like, it's like a two-hour drive up 95. Yeah. Like, it's not even close.
No, it's not.
But, yeah, anyway, people make that. People have said it to me before.
What is the DMV?
D.C., Maryland, Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically that whole Beltway.
Really?
Yeah, the Beltway area.
Yep.
But there are people that think the 757 is they call it the DMV. I don't get it. Anyway.
And Richmond is the RVA.
Yeah.
No, Radford is.
You're right.
my mom said, my parents went out to Utah way back in the early 60s, and my mom told a story to me one time about how she was in something in Utah, and somebody said, oh, you got an accent. Where are you from? And my mom said, Virginia. And the other person said, oh, you must mean West Virginia. My mom said, no, Virginia.
No.
And the other person, according to my mom, actually said, well, there is no Virginia. You must mean West Virginia.
That's funny because I had the opposite thing happen. A friend of mine was on a trip and said that she had encountered someone too, and she was actually from West Virginia. And when she told him that she was from West Virginia, they insisted West Virginia was not a state.
Wow.
That she had to have meant Virginia. But then, like, literally was fighting with her, saying there's no such state as West Virginia. This is a grown person, too. It makes you weep for the future of America is what it does.
Jay Leno made his money finding people like that and putting them on camera.
That is very – what, the man on the street segment? Is that what that was?
Yep. One of those people was the woman on that radio show who called in about the deer crossing and said, why can't we get the local government to move the deer crossing 2 miles down the road or something like that?
I know. That was unbelievable. Oh, that was so good.
We're digressing.
Yeah, but you know what? It's in a good way. Plus, there's nothing happening.
How much more time do you have? Seriously, we got to talk about Stick It In.
All right, okay, yeah, that's actually probably perfect time. We got about 3 minutes. What you got?
All right.
Well, this is typical off-season fare. We ran a poll on Tech Sideline. Should Virginia Tech bring back Stick It In?
Okay.
Now, for those in the audience that don't know, Stick It In was a song that the marching band would play whenever Virginia Tech would get down to the towards the north end zone.
No, we shouldn't sing it.
So the band would play, you know, this chanting, swaying back and forth, stick it in, and then the band members would thrust at the end of it.
Yeah.
And that was the part that
innuendo.
So Jim Weaver put a stop to that. I looked it up the other day. It was September of 2007.
Rumored to be at the behest of older boosters and fans, correct?
Probably. Yeah. And a story that makes the rounds on our message board is that Weaver told the band, you can play it, but stop the vulgar hip thrusting. And they did not stop the vulgar hip thrusting, so Weaver said, okay, now you can't even play it.
Yeah.
So it's been gone for close to 8 years now. Now, at a basketball game, I can't remember which game it was. It was an ACC game. At halftime, they had the percussionists come out and play during halftime, and they did Stick It In. It was almost like Witt was floating a little trial balloon to see how the crowd reacted.
Uh-huh.
So we ran a poll on the website this week about should Virginia Tech bring back Stick It In? And hang on a second, my phone's messing up on me here.
That's all right.
Close to 2,900 people answered. 79% said they should bring it back.
Well, yeah.
And what? How many people said they shouldn't? How the answers break down?
13% said they shouldn't, which is one out of every eight.
Okay.
And then another 8%, whatever's remaining, said, I don't know or I don't care.
Right.
You know, so
only 13% are against it.
And 80% were for it.
It never made any sense in the first place. But then again, at the same time, you know, it was the justification that you heard was there were you know, the older boosters who were the larger money boosters and supporters of the program didn't like it, and you certainly don't want to upset those fans and make their game day experience less enjoyable. So there was some pressure there. I mean, that's what I heard.
And I get
I'm
that.
Sure there was.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was. But now when I look at that stadium and the crowds are getting smaller every year, I want to take as many opportunities as we can to bring the fun factor back. And if that's one of the things, then go for it.
Yeah.
And then there's the double standard of the high techs, whom, like any male, I enjoy watching the high techs.
Right.
There's a little bit of hip shaking going on.
Well, there is. Yeah. And you know what? I think I've said this. You're exactly right. That's an excellent point because it's, you know, very, very beautiful young women, suggestively dancing oftentimes, you know, to the enjoyment of most males in the place. I stress most. Do I even have time? Why do they put sweatpants on over top of their tights when they do hip-hop dancing? It's got to be hot. It's more restricting. I rail on this every time it happens, and I want to ask their coach. I'm going to be like, why do you put sweatpants on over top of your tights to do hip-hop dances?
Why don't you get her on the show next week?
I need to do that because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me.
All the New River Valley is waiting for that answer.
I need to know why they do that. I don't like it. It doesn't make any sense to me. So now I got to find out why they're doing it. Anyway, we're out of time. That was a great way to end that show. Bring back Stick It In.
Yep.
Bring it back. Will Stewart, Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. They join us every Friday here in the McAdoo Studios, and we appreciate it. Follow TechSideline on Twitter at TechSideline. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up the show, and we'll head to the weekend. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.